Welcome. You're listening to a sermon podcast from Oak Hills Church in Folsom, California.
We are continuing on in our series that we're calling Unexpected Encounters, where we are looking at places in our life where we might be prepared to encounter God. And our passage this morning is the same one as last week. So if you were here last week, you don't have to read it again. But it's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. If you would turn there with me in your Bibles and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Picking up once again with the story of Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, quiet my soul. Help me to set down the demands of the season in order to be with you. Jesus, show us what you want us to know about your arrival. Show us who you want us to bless with the fruit of your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Mike did warn us last week, but of course, I didn't listen. And what I hate about this is that now this whole thing is going to get included in Mike's tired rant that he always goes into about how nobody ever listens to his sermons. And now he can add me to his statistics. Because as those of you who were here last week will remember, Mike did warn us that praying this little prayer through our days last week would be very disruptive to our ordinary lives. And like a fool, I went ahead and prayed it anyway. Maybe some of you had similar experiences. I mean, it seemed so safe, right? On the surface, I mean, how disruptive can a little three-sentence prayer be that was written by just a regular old person at our church here? But the moment that you step into it, you realize you're in over your head. For a lot of reasons, of course, but there's one in particular that pertains to our subject this morning that hits you right away, and it is the fact that embedded in this, again, very simple, made-up little prayer is the presumption, the expectation, the request to hear from God. Like that God will actually answer and show you something, show you someone. That God, the creator of the ends of the earth, would speak to you. If you actually pause and like absorb that, like actually take it in. The thought of God speaking, like it's a terrifying thought. Psalm 29 describes the voice of God this way. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning, shakes the desert, twists the oaks, strips the forest bare. And we're going to go out into our regular, ordinary, old little lives asking God to speak to us. Of course, on the other hand, a lot of times, I don't know about you, we look at our lives, but we actually don't see that much lightning. We look at our lives and we don't see many twisted oaks, many forests laid bare. So it actually doesn't feel that intimidating, really. It doesn't feel that intimidating to ask God to show us something, to speak to us. Maybe because deep down we're not really sure that he would. Probably explains why most of the time we're not listening. Why most of the time we're not paying attention. After all, we are just ordinary people, living ordinary lives, doing ordinary things. Why on earth would God speak to us? Which is what's so jarring about the people that are involved in the arrival of the Messiah, the story of Christmas. As Mike pointed out last week, every single one of the major players of the First Advent is utterly unremarkable, astoundingly average. Joseph, Mary, Zechariah, Elizabeth, the shepherds, all ordinary people doing ordinary things until God spoke. Like one of the most prominent features of the stories of the first Christmas is God speaking to ordinary individuals in their ordinary lives. It's like you read the stories of the first couple chapters of Matthew and the first couple chapters of Luke, and you get the impression that God's like speaking all the time to like people everywhere. Must have been the way it was back in the olden days. But in fact, the truth is that the years, even the centuries before Jesus was born, were marked by God's silence, not by his speaking. And yet somehow these ordinary folks managed to live their ordinary lives in a posture of listening, poised for the moment that they encountered God's message, that they encountered God's voice. Maybe it's probably good that we stop here for a moment and clarify what we mean when we say God speaks to us. Because, I mean, if you look at the stories of Advent, you could argue that technically none of these people actually heard directly from God. Right? I mean, they received their messages from God through a messenger, through an angel. So does that really count? Does that really count as hearing from God? And so as we're talking about encountering God in our listening, it's important to remember, start with the fact that God is spirit, John 4:24 would tell us. And so he communicates with our spirit. God speaking to us, it happens at the spirit level. Now, he can use different means to get through to our spirit, such as, of course, the angel, as in the case of the stories of Christmas, or through nature, or through the Bible, through other people. But just because his word or his communication comes to us through different channels, it doesn't make it any less a word from him to us. I remember the story my good friend Brian Robertson told me about when he proposed to his wife, Gina. In typical Brian Robertson fashion, for those of you who know him, he proposed to Gina at a Giants game. Did one of those Jumbotron, Gina, will you marry me things. Of course, when she read the message, she knew it was from him, right? Even though the words didn't come out of his mouth. At least I assumed that she knew it was from him because 25 years and five kids later, they're still married. So the fact that God speaks through nature or the Bible or other people or all three, it doesn't diminish the fact that it is in fact him speaking to us, speaking to me individually. Of course, because he is God, he is not limited to physical means in order to communicate to us. In other words, he isn't forced to send sound waves through the air and then vibrate our eardrum in patterns that our minds can then decode and identify as language. He can actually go directly to our minds by stirring our thoughts or our dreams without having to go through any of our physical senses, if he so chooses. And ultimately, it is in our thoughts that we will discern what is known often as the still, small voice of God. So yes, even though in our passage here, Joseph heard an angel in a dream, like he's not even awake at the time that this whole thing has happened. There's no question, not a question for him, that that communication, that that dream was God speaking to him. This is the case with the vision that Zechariah saw in the temple or the message that Mary received. Even the star that the wise men saw. All of those is God communicating with them, speaking with them. And because of his great for love, his great for us, and his desire for relationship with us, it's actually very reasonable. We can actually be very confident that God can and will communicate with us through a variety of means. Question is, will we be listening when he does? Like, I always wondered, like, what would have happened if Gina hadn't been paying attention when Brian's message popped up? Like, what if she's, she's like bored with the game, or she's like flirting with the guy in the row behind her. What if she'd fallen asleep? The message came and went. She never saw it. Which is where I think I want us to kind of sit a bit today. Because you see, we are not in control of God speaking to us. Like, we cannot make it happen. We cannot coerce or manipulate a word from God. God communicating with us, God speaking to us, that's his business that he does on his own time, on his own initiative. But we are responsible for being reachable, for being in a listening posture, so that when God does speak to us, we're actually in position to hear. Dallas Willard, in his book, Hearing God, uses the example of radio waves that are flowing through and around us at all times. Like right now, I mean, that's even now with cell phones, right? Right now, there's like gazillions of messages that are like all around us, like flowing literally through our bodies right now that we don't pick up on because we're not tuned into it, right? So when it comes to hearing from God, what are some ways that we can live tuned in, listening? Well, the best place to start, of course, is to be immersed in the story of Scripture, the big God story, as we like to call it around here. The writings of Scripture that relate to us how God has acted and spoken, what he's like, what he's up to. what his vision for the world is. This is something that we see throughout all of the encounters of the first Advent. All these people, when they encountered the message from God that they're going to be involved in the birth of the Messiah, they all knew what the angel was talking about. Like Joseph has this dream where the angel is telling him, hey, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Which is a crazy thing to talk about, right? Like, if you don't know the Christmas, you just hear that, it's like, that's absurd. And yet, however ridiculous this sounds, Joseph never says, wait, what now? He's going to save his people from what? To where? Like, he didn't question whether it was just guilt, something he made up, or even if it was the egg salad sandwich that he had the night before. This wasn't the first he was hearing of the Messiah. In fact, through ritual and practice and study, he was immersed in the story of God's plan. And so when he receives this message, like, he knows exactly what the angel is talking about. It's like, have you ever watched a football game with someone who has never heard of the sport? Let alone knows anything about it. Our first year that we were living as missionaries in Albania, some of our dear friends here at Oak Hills sent us a care package over the winter, and in it, part of it was a videotape, remember those VHS things, of the Super Bowl that year. Because, of course, I had missed Super Bowl because the NFL hadn't gotten to Albania yet. So I was very excited, grabbed it, so excited, and I sat down to watch it with my new good friend, Ely, and I said, oh, dude, you're going to love it, it's awesome. And he had never heard of the sport, let alone watched it, know anything about it, and, you know, put it in, sit back. It was a great game. Like, it was the 2001 Super Bowl between the Rams and the Patriots, right? So this is the greatest show on turf against an unknown rookie quarterback by the name of Tom Brady. And it was an awesome game decided by an Adam Vinatieri kick with 7 seconds to go. Like, it's a great game, like one of the better Super Bowls of history. And Yuli couldn't have cared less. In fact, he was so bored, he went home at halftime. Because, of course, he wasn't immersed in the story, the drama of the NFL, and the current of what was happening. So none of it made any sense, meant anything to him at all. And I think that this is why we miss so much of what God says to us in our everyday lives. Because we're not immersed in the story of what he is doing. And so any communication from him to us was totally out of context, because we're not there. But by being immersed in the story of Scripture, and here, of course, I mean more than just reading it on a regular basis, although, of course, it does involve that. But to be immersed in the story of Scripture is reading Scripture and meditating on it, so that where the story actually in the trajectory and the heart of it all, it just kind of seeps and soaks into who we are and how we see and interpret the events that are going on around us. In fact, this is the discipline that we're encouraging one another to engage with this week. Let's take this passage, or some other passage in the Advent story, or any scripture passage at all, actually, if you would like to, and read it several times this week, each time with a curious ear. Possibly even as you read it, praying this prayer that we practiced last week. Lord, quiet my soul. Help me to set down the demands of this season in order to be with you. Jesus, show me what you want me to know about your arrival. Show me who you want me to bless with the fruit of your Spirit. And then listen to what he might say. It's not about knowing the story so that we can recite it on command. You know, impress your friends at the office Christmas party. Guys, guess what I learned this week? And you just go, on the day of the birth of Mary and found with child. You know, no, that's not what it's about. It's about letting that story be our story. Seeing ourselves as participants, as recipients of it. And again, if you're able to, if you want to make one of those times of reading and reflection being around dinner time on Wednesday, as a reminder that we, as a local body of believers here at Oak Hills, that we're doing this together in community. Because while our personal immersion in the story of Scripture is an essential listening posture from which to hear from God, doing so in the context of community, with God's people, it makes hearing what God is saying to us even easier and clearer. Like, that's what the Bible is, right? The Bible is people writing to the rest of the community, the people of God, what they heard God say. And God frequently speaks to us through his people. It's what we're doing right now, right? I'm up here saying things that I believe God would have me say to you. In faith, that out of what I'm saying, something might be God speaking to you personally. But even this message that I'm, words that I have written on this page here, it's not just something that I come up with on my own. What we talk about up here, we actually discern in community. Very little of this message is original to me. And it's what happens when we gather in small groups, we gather with others to immerse ourselves in the message of Scripture. We share about our lives and what we see God doing in our lives. When we pray for one another, help each other discern what God might be doing in our lives. See, when we regularly place ourselves in these kinds of contexts, in community, I guarantee, wow, that's a bold statement. I guarantee that we will hear God speaking to us much more frequently than if we are living in isolation. Even in the times when we aren't physically with our community, we will find God encounters much, much more frequent. So immersing ourselves in the story of Scripture, remaining connected in community with God's people, these will put us in great listening posture to hear from God more frequently. There's one more essential component that I want to talk about this morning that's very easy to neglect, maybe because it's not as popular, no app that will help you accomplish it. There's no shortcut to this last component. And that is a posture of obedience. See, when you read through the stories surrounding the birth of Christ, you know, one prominent feature of those stories is God talking to people. It's happening all over the place, right? Which, as I mentioned earlier, makes you kind of think that it was happening all the time, like everyone on the street. It's like getting visitations from angels all the time. We see it so often in the narratives that it is tempting to believe that God must not be speaking to people anymore, because we just don't see it as often in our stories as we do in these condensed stories of Scripture. So on the one hand, you see God speaking all over the narratives of Christmas. But just as frequently as you see God speaking, the other prominent feature is people obeying. Mary responds to the angel, "Let it be unto me as you have said." The shepherds immediately followed the angel's word and went to look for baby Jesus. And Joseph, Matthew 1:24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. So we see these stories where God is speaking to people, and they're going out and doing what he tells them to do every time. And then we put down the Bible and we say, I wonder why God doesn't speak to me like that. Like, do you ever wonder why God chose Mary and Joseph for this whole thing? Like, there are probably a bunch of engaged couples running around the Jewish countryside in those days. Like, it's probably a Susan and a Peter, like, engaged, like, just down the street. Why didn't God ask them? Well, because he needed people who would say yes. And it had to be both of them, by the way. Not just one of them, you know, being willing isn't going to be enough to pull this whole thing off. How did God know that they would say yes? Well, because they had said yes before. Our passage this morning here makes the point that Joseph was a righteous man, meaning that he had a track record of living according to what God wanted him to do. So when God comes up with this crazy idea for him to do this crazy stuff, well, for Joseph, that's just another step of obedience for him, something he was already well accustomed to doing. Let's say you're in a situation this afternoon where you need somebody to help, some help, whatever you're doing. Okay, real quick, in your mind, who are you going to call? No, don't say that. You know what I mean. Like what person in your life are you going to call? Chances are, it's the person you know will say yes, right? The person you have experience with them saying yes. It's not that you won't call somebody that you don't have any experience with. I mean, you might, especially if it's not like an emergency, you know, if it's not something big, you might call somebody who's kind of a fishing expedition, see if this person is somebody who would say yes. But you know who you're not going to call if you need help this afternoon? The person who has a long track record of always saying no, right? And don't misunderstand me here. I am not saying that God only speaks to perfect people who never say no. I'm not saying that at all. God speaks to whomever he wants to speak, about whatever he wants to speak, whenever he wants to speak to them. The message isn't about how to make God speak to us more. What we're talking about here is how to put ourselves in a posture to listen, to hear when he speaks. And I don't know about you, but if I am predisposed to not want to do what God says, and yes, sometimes I'm not. Oh, did you hear that? He's a pastor. The pastor doesn't want to do what God asks him to do sometimes. Shocking. But when I am predisposed to not want to do what he says, I'm more inclined to avoid him. Like, take literal steps to avoid him, to make myself unavailable. When his number pops up on my phone, I'm much more likely to let it go to voicemail and then conveniently forget to check it. But I've also experienced the opposite. I've also experienced those times and seasons where I've practiced saying yes, stepping out in faith when I think I hear God asking me to do something, even when it's scary, even when it feels at first like I'm actually losing something. And every time I do, I relearn the lesson that truly his yoke is easy. His burden is light. He does not lay anything too heavy or unfitting on me. And every step of obedience I've taken always ends up leading me in the right direction. Like, sure, God comes and asks these people to do some pretty crazy things in these stories. But man, when they said yes to him, what a ride. What an adventure. And I believe that those adventures, those experiences, those encounters with God are available to us right now, right here, where we are. If only we would listen. Would you bow your heads with me? And as you do, I invite you once again to let your mind wander to this prayer that we prayed this past week. It's up on the screens if you want to cheat and look at it. As we close this morning, I just want to pray this prayer slowly, give you space to listen, to hear from God. Here in this communal context that we are in. So, Lord, quiet our soul. Help us to set down the demands of this season. In order to be with you. Jesus, show us what you want us to know about your arrival. Show us who you want us to bless with the fruit of your Spirit. Now, it's possible that in this moment, something specific about Christ's birth came up for you. It's possible that in this moment, a specific person or group of people came to your mind. Couple fun exercises and experiments for this week, even this morning before you leave. So maybe share those things with somebody. And then go do it. And go do it. So Father, we commit ourselves to responding to your word. We commit ourselves to obeying what you call us to. We desperately want to hear from you. We want to be a part of what you're doing. So Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would stir in us in a way that we can confidently walk through our ordinary lives, knowing that you are present with us, guiding and directing and leading us through. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.